state-of-the-art Japanese animation.
Hello.
I have returned to the internet in a blazing rage of fury and stuff.
Woo!
Yeah, I've been missing for a long time, and if you look at the blog once in a while, I know some of you don't, you just get this off of iTunes or whatever aggregator you're using for this week. And you're like, where's she been? I bet she pod-faded. Oh my god, Vega sucks. Ha 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 ha. And, yeah, as I said on the blog, my mother has passed on, and I had to deal with all of that. That's one of those major things in life, but it also left me kind of a shell for a while. I barely watched anime, I barely read manga. It's like I just closed myself off from my hobbies and everything that I identify with, mostly because I was sad. This episode's dedicated to LaWanda, and those of you who sent emails and commented on the blog, thank you so much. That made me feel better. And thank you for all of your condolences during that time. But it's a new month. In fact, it's been over a month since I talked. And I'm here back on the internets with Frobor!
Hello. Whoa.
Yes, Frobor is with me, for he is the Slayer's Master. We are talking about the anime he got me into, which is
Slayers.
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 Seriously, this dude's, when he found out I didn't never watch Slayers, he's like, "Oh my god, you have to watch Slayers."
Well, you know, for my circle of friends, it was the gateway anime for us all. It was what really got us into anime. And I think that's true for a lot of people in like their late 20s or so. Slayers was, you know, their gateway, because it's an easy series to get into. It's, you know, a pretty familiar setting. It's, you know, Western-style fantasy. It's got comedy, it's got action, it's got interesting characters, it's got lots of explosions, it's got lots of nonsense, and it's got a story to it.
And fishmen.
And fishmen.
Fishmen.
Fishmen. Fishmen, fishmen, lovely, lovely fish. Oh, wait, no, that's a different song.
Not fishmen as in mermen, who are hot, but a fish with legs and arms that goes around, and it's weird, and supposedly delicious in some scenes. But also, we got the AMV of the week here, and possibly some weird banter between me and this guy.
Yeah, thank.
Shut up.
My nephew liked the Power Rangers, and I did this on his birthday where he had all his friends around. They were like, Green Ranger. I said, let me show you the real Sentai. I'm going to show you the episode where Green Ranger actually died. And they were sitting there looking. A couple kids start crying like, no, Green Ranger can't be daddy. And the parents were like, what are you showing our kids?
The Anime World Order Podcast.
Not suitable for children because the truth hurts.
Visit us online at www.animeworldorder.com.
What's the cat thing called? Shit!
Feline Fantasy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The AMV of the week is Feline Fantasy from Doki Doki. One of his first ones, I think. Not the first, though. And it has the cutest little song, and it's using Kimigori Orange Road, the cat from that. I'm not sure how many of you have seen that. Have you seen it?
Nope.
I've seen, like, some of it. But I think it was either the end or a movie. I'm not sure. It's been a long time ago, and it was just a random VHS tape. Unlabeled. Kind of sucks. But that AMV was so cute. It was the song Catnip Dream that you compared to that Wing.
It sounded like the woman had no idea what the words she was singing meant. Kind of like Wing.
Yeah, like the episode of South Park, if y'all don't know, when Shitty Wall Chinese guy had his, like, wife sing, and the guys, like, the boys trying to agent her. That episode was hilarious.
Yes, it was.
But today is not the day of South Park. But South Park's been is awesome. Watched the Vampire Kids episode that had me. I watched that like twice in a row. Had me rolling. But today is the day of Slayers.
Not Vampire Slayers.
Not Slayer, which is awesome. Yeah, go to International Day of Slayer episode. See also that, bitch. But yes, would you give us the synopsis, please?
Okay, basically, you've got Lena Inverse, who's a teenage sorceress that's an ass-kicking sorceress, but a complete brat. And she goes around pretty much blowing people up and taking their stuff and telling herself it's okay because they're bad guys.
Yeah, she only targets bandits. She doesn't, like, targets innocent bystanders.
Well, she doesn't target innocent bystanders. That doesn't mean they're safe.
Dragon Slave!
Yeah, her favorite spell is blow up the city caliber Dragon Slave.
Pretty much.
And she meets up with this guy, Gowry, who's an idiot but a really good swordsman.
Blonde idiot.
Kind of Bishonen-y.
Not really.
Well, he's got the really long hair, and he's tall.
True. I guess you could say Bishonen in some aspects, but the entire thing, the character designs kind of look gaggish.
I don't know what that... Yeah. And they have adventures. And their adventures are awesome. And they get sucked into having to save the world a couple of times.
Yeah, basically... This fantasy anime, it's the first season of many seasons.
The fourth one is currently... There was a, like, 6 or 7 year hiatus between the third and fourth season. The fourth one is, I believe, has finished coming out in Japan, and the fifth one is coming out next year.
Yes, Slayer's Revolution and Slayer's Evolution R, or mm-hmm. Revolution R.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this is the beginning. If you've seen Slayer's Revolution and was like, that's awesome... Go back to the beginning! And plus, there's something about seeing it in cell animation instead of digital, like with Slayer's Season 4, that just makes it seem a bit better.
Though, honestly, while the character designs are good, the character designs really haven't changed over the series.
Yeah.
The art in the first season, the animation quality is definitely lower than the later seasons. Like, there is a huge art upgrade between first and second season.
Well, that's because they're like, oh my god, this is making mad monies. Let's pump more money into the Slayers franchise.
Yeah. But it's still good. It's still good. It's just, you know, early 90s anime.
Yes.
But you know, it's typical early 90s anime in the first season.
Yes, but it's one of the best 90s anime.
It really is.
Anyway, besides Lena and Gowry, there's Amelia, who's the princess of Seirun.
And a complete nut job.
Yes. She's the justice character.
She's justice crazed. She's like, you know, obsessed with justice. She basically wants to be the fantasy equivalent of a superhero, but she's
clumsy as hell.
Clumsy as hell and not so smart.
Yeah. And we don't know she's a princess right away. Doesn't find out till we meet her dad, Prince Phil.
Which is the same episode, but it's still, we don't find out their father and daughter until the end of the episode. Prince Phil is easily the funniest non-main character.
Yeah.
He's completely hilarious. First of all, every girl he meets, like every girl in the series who hears about him is like, oh, a prince! And then when they actually meet him, they like go into shock because he's fugly as hell.
Yeah.
And he's just as justice obsessed nut job as Amelia. You can totally see where she got it from.
Yeah.
Though she's a lot cuter than he is. And, yeah, he's like this, like, bruiser type of fighter, but he's also a pacifist, which combines in really weird and funny ways.
Yeah, well, Seirun is a pacifist country. Seirun, which is one of the quests in the series, them getting to Seirun, is basically the light magic place. The whole place is just one big... The whole place design, the street design, one giant spell. One giant, like, pentagram-ish type thing.
Spell of magical protection kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but, I mean, the series... Oh, and then, of course, the last main character is possibly... He rivals Lena in popularity. He's very popular. Is Zelgadis, who's the straight man, and the angsty, broody guy who's cursed with awesome. You know the type? The guy that, like, has this horrible curse that's completely awesome. In Zilgadis' case, okay, yeah, he's kind of funny looking, but he's super strong, super fast. Ordinary weapons can't hurt him, only magical ones can. And he's, like, kick-ass at magic, and he's constantly moaning about it.
Yeah, and he's pretty smart, too.
He is pretty smart, too. Decent swordsman, not Gowri level.
Yeah, not Gowri level. Really, that's Gowri's only saving grace in the series, the fact that he has that skill and the Sword of Light.
And this is also, I mean, Slayers was something of a career launcher, because it was one of Megumi Hayashibara's first starring roles. It predates Evangelion by about a year.
And it's one of her most famous roles.
And it is very hard to believe that Hyperactive Lena and Rei Ayanami are the same voice actress, but she's good.
Yeah.
And then you've also got Hikaru Madorakawa, who's done a lot of stuff, most famously Duo. He's Zilgadis.
Duo.
Yes. And then you've got, I think those are the main recognizable voices. Oh, and Rezo. I can't remember the voice actor's name, but he was Hoda Hori in Fushigi Yugi.
Japanese or English?
Japanese. Oh, no. The English dub.
Really?
Some people like the dub, but I'll be honest. Lisa Ortiz is not half the actress that Megumi Hayashibara is. I saw today, I was, you know, wandering around YouTube, and somebody linked to the second half of the last episode of Slayer Season 2, and it was the English dub, which I'd never actually heard that particular episode in English, and it had none of the impact. I mean, Lisa Ortiz really only has one voice. She really only has...
She has more than one voice. I mean, her Dietland voice is way different from her animation runner Kuromi voice, or her Tsubasa voice.
I don't know. I hear her... At least when she's doing Lena, she always sounds exactly like Nurse. Or not Nurse Joy, Officer Jenny.
I don't know.
Every time I see her doing Lena, it does. And that's a very dramatic scene. That's a scene where when Megumi does it, it's extremely, like, she is threatening in that scene. She is deep. And she is, I mean, basically, it is, you hear her in that scene and you know you are about to die. And Lisa Ortiz does it and it's Officer Jenny.
Well, I don't know, because
I am not a big...
I don't hear Lisa Ortiz when I hear Officer Jenny, though. Because when I hear Lisa Ortiz, when I hear Kuromi or Tsubasa or Lena in English. And really, the only good thing about the English dub is Lisa Ortiz in Lena.
No.
Otherwise, I don't like any of the other actors.
The only good thing about the English dub happens in Season 3. And we're going to be a while, and we're not getting to that today.
Yeah, that's going to be a while.
The English dub... First of all, from second season on, the English dub destroys the best character. They turn him from a but we'll get into that in second season.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't want to rant about that right now. We're talking about first season right
now. Yes, we are. And we haven't even got to the meat of
it. But we're just trust us, unless, like, you're illiterate or something, watch the sub. This is one of those cases where the sub really is objectively way better than the dub.
I don't think there's many illiterate people that watch anime.
Then where do dub fans come from?
Oh, burn! That was all Frobar right there.
I'm sorry, dub fans. I'm sure some of you can read, just not very quickly.
There are some awesome dubs in anime that aren't bad. Cowboy
yes.
Bebop? Best example. Great example.
All right. I'll give you that. But 99% of the time, the Japanese voice actors are better. They're just better actors.
I'd give it more of a 97%. Because Samurai Champloo was pretty good, too, in terms of dub. Yeah, and I think Fullmetal Alchemist
wasn't
had
that
a good
the same
dub.
Guys? Oh, I can't stand Fullmetal Alchemist's dub.
I can't stand it in sub, to tell the truth. Some of the characters just sound so off to me. And that's not because I watched the dub first. It's just, period.
The dub just, I don't know. The dub, to me, To me, the American dubs often sound like they were done by a high school drama class. Well, I'm sorry. The quality of acting is not good in most dubs. And Slayers is an excellent example where, first of all, the voices don't match the characters very well at all. Although I'll admit, most of the time Lena is being either silly or a brat, and Lisa Ortiz can do those fine. She can do excited Lena, bratty Lena, so forth. But the rare occasion when Lena gets serious, Lisa Ortiz fails. Yeah. And the rest of the voice actors, they're not.
I do prefer to sub when it comes to Slayers, they're not good but matches I still on the like voices. Lisa Ortiz as Lena in those exciting roles. Anyway, yeah, Slayers, after you get all the characters together and they go on. Well,
let's backtrack a little, because Amelia isn't actually introduced until halfway through the series.
Yeah.
You start out, you've got Lena and Gowrie. They meet up in the first episode. They start traveling together, basically because Lena can't get rid of Gowrie. And then you've got Zelgadis showing up as a villain. And this isn't really a spoiler, because by this time you should know. If you are an anime fan, by this time you should know that you should have heard of Zelgadis. I'm sorry.
Well, then again, a lot of people listening weren't fans as early as you were, or I was.
Even so, you go to cons and you see people dressed as Slayers characters today.
You barely see that nowadays. I haven't seen a Slayers cosplay in a good 2 years.
I saw
years.
One at Otakon.
Yeah, but Otakon's huge.
I saw Zelgadis and Alita.
Yeah, but Otakon's huge, and Slayers Evolution R just came out. I mean, Slayers Revolution came out that summer.
Look, by the fourth episode, you know Zelgadis isn't a villain.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm not considering that a spoiler.
Yeah, but still, like, Slayers have resurgence because of the new anime coming out. But past few years, you haven't really been seeing Slayers out there unless it's like 20-year-olds who's been fans in the 90s or early or late 90s fans who heard about it from the 20-year-olds who was fans in the 90s like me. Because I knew about Slayers since at least, like, maybe a bit after high school. Which was like 2003, and I found out about fans who was fans from the 90s. I was like, here, check this out.
So, yeah, basically, Lena, Gowrie, and Zelgadis team up. Lena has accidentally stumbled onto a treasure that lots of people want. And Zelgadis wants revenge on one of them, and Gowrie is, well, just sort of there because Lena's there. And, they end up having a pretty awesome battle with a pretty fugly monster that gets released and is, you know, threat to the world kind of thing.
By the way, the battles and fighting styles, pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially for early 90s Cell animation, they do a good job. In the first season, there's some use of stock footage and that kind of thing, but really, they do a good job of keeping the battles varied and interesting, and
it's not always the same trump card every time. Like,
which is great.
It took, like, basically, they progressed as fighters and spellcasters. You see a progression within them, as well as, well, a bit like, development in their powers and stuff.
Like, the first half of the season, Lita's got 3 or 4 spells that she uses.
Mostly Fireball!
And Dragon Slave! I do a terrible girly voice. I'm sorry.
Dragon Slave!
And then you've got... But in the second half of the season, she uses quite a few more. By the second season, there are spells that only ever get used in one episode. They're tossing around all kinds of different things.
Yeah,
and even from the start, Zelgadis uses a pretty wide variety of spells, and it just gets bigger.
Yeah, and some of his spells overlap with Amelia's spells as well.
And occasionally with Lena's as well. Basically, Zelgadis is good but not great at everything. That's his character.
He's the jack-of-all-trades
guy. He is good at everything, but there's really... Except maybe, like, spirit-type astral plane kind of magic. That's pretty much the only place where he's the best of them at. Everything else, one of the others is better, but he can pretty much do a decent job at anything any of the other characters can do, and there's a few things he can do that none of the other characters can do. Jack of all trades, like you said.
Yeah.
And
let's talk about the villains a bit, because we barely mentioned them.
Yeah, the villains are really good, especially in the second half. There's a recurring pair of goldfish poop villains.
Goldfish poop villains?
Yeah.
Goldfish poo?
Yeah, if you're not familiar with it, it's a Japanese term for people who just kind of hang around and follow you around and you can't get rid of them.
They're like those two guys.
Yeah.
Except annoying.
Yeah. And it's basically these two, basically in the second season, Lena, Gowri, and Zelgadas have a price on their heads, because they're being blamed for something that happened in the first season that wasn't really their fault. And they're getting chased around, and these two mercenaries will not leave them alone.
Still. In two seasons worth. But don't worry, they don't exist in third, and they're not in fourth at all, are they?
What are you talking?
What, those two guys?
Those two guys? Oh, yeah. One of them shows up in the first two seasons. I guess they both show up in the second season. One of them only really briefly, though. But it's this wizard and swordsman pair. And the swordsman is obsessed with beating Gowri. And they're both...
pairing fodder.
What, him and Gowri?
Pairing fodder.
Pairing fodder, I'll admit it. though, really, the pair that really gets, over the course of the three seasons, Lena Gowri gets to being almost canon. They always shy away at the last second, but
it comes really close. It annoys fans back then and now. It annoys me. But I also kind of don't want that to happen. It would take away from some of the dynamics of the show if that ever happened.
But it's not really a show that emphasizes, the romance aspect. Even though it has a female main character, it is most definitely not a shoujo
It's show. Not a shoujo show. It's an adventure
even
show.
Heard it, I have even heard people claim that it's a shonen show, which I'm not sure I agree with.
It has shonen elements.
Mm-hmm.
Female lead shonen elements. Not completely shonen, though, because it has fantasy, action, heavy on the comedy. This is a really funny fantasy show. This is not Lodos.
No.
This is not Lodos.
The anti-Lodos.
Anti-Lodos.
It is. There are points that are just plain hilarious. Like...
Fishmen.
The fishmen are pretty hilarious. Pretty much anytime you see a fishman, you know you're in for some humor. Every season, in the middle of the season, there's at least of the first three. In the middle of the season, there's just four episodes of complete nonsense
and cross dressing.
And always one of them involves cross dressing. they enjoy doing up Gowri with Sailor Moon's hair. It's a running gag, giving Gowri Sailor Moon's hair. And there's also, early on, there's a plot line where Lena is very embarrassed because her magic has stopped working for a few days, which apparently happens for about 3 days every month.
Shut up. I'm going to hit you. My powers don't go away.
Sure.
If you don't know it, audience, I'm about to beat up Frobar live. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to edit that out.
Very funny show. Lots of ridiculous stuff.
I'm going to have to cut out a lot of ums because of you.
It's a good show. I'm not really sure what else to say without being spoilery.
We haven't said anything about Rezo, who is one of the main antagonists.
True. And I guess it's not really a spoiler that he's a bad guy, because one of the episode titles is, Rezo's the real enemy.
Yeah.
Honestly, you should recognize his voice actor and know that he's the bad guy or even if you don't recognize the actor, hearing his voice, you should know that's a bad guy voice.
Bad guy voice.
Rezo is this famous traveling priest who, is hailed as like this great man. He's a great healer, but he's blind. And it turns out that basically in his obsession to gain sight, because Oh, because none of the normal, like, spells that fix sight work on him for some reason. He basically turns evil.
Yeah, Rezzo, there's a lot that goes on with him. And, yeah, basically, he doesn't, like, the biggest battle, of course, is until the end of the series. But also, there's someone else who comes in at the end of every series that we hate.
For the first two seasons, there's a character. She's not a villain. She's supposed to be one of the heroes. Sylphiel.
I hate Sylphiel.
I hate Sylphiel. Honestly, I think we're supposed to hate Sylphiel because if Lena and Gowrie are a pair, then Sylphiel is Lena's rival. She's Gowrie's childhood friend. She's, you know, sweet and perfect and...
Milk toast.
Boring.
Fire arrow.
There is an amusing running gag where she's really, really good at healing spells and really, really bad at everything else.
Yeah, it's like an RPG, except your healer comes right when you need it, actually, in front of a boss.
And yeah, she has a habit in particular of screwing up the most basic of all fire spells, Flare Arrow, where she gets these crappy little things instead, and they do nothing.
Well, her power goes off of a different god, right?
Well, the way it works is white magic comes from the gods.
Like Siphi?
Siphi.
Yeah, Siphi.
And black magic comes from the Mazuku, the demons. And shamanic magic, which is, like, neutral, comes from nature spirits.
Shabrinigdo.
Shabrinigdo is the, you know, ruler of all Mazuku, and in fact the creator of all other Mazuku, and generally not a nice person to mess with. But fortunately he was chopped into 7 pieces and sealed in various places around the world. Unfortunately, at least one of those is partially free, and another one gets free over the course of the first season.
Yeah.
And, you know, that results in bad things happening.
A lot of bad things happen. Sometimes comedically, sometimes, oh my god, we have to stop this because we're the heroes, and this is a fantasy anime, and if we did it, that would suck.
The Slayers definitely does like to mess with you. The big hulking, hideous monster demon thing is generally the less dangerous one. It's the ones that look like friendly neighborhood guys that you have to watch out for.
Oh, we have to get into that second season. You know who I'm referencing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Though that's a huge spoiler, so we're going to have to tread carefully around that one.
I don't think we should even say their, name.
Yeah.
Its name. The name.
But in general, the law of Slayers is the less dangerous it looks, the more dangerous it is. And that's basically Lena in a nutshell. I mean, she's
small.
In the first episode, Gowrie mistakes her for a little girl. She isn't that far off. She's only 15 in the first episode. But he thinks that she's like 8. He treats her like she's like about 8. And she's small. And she kind of has a little bit of a complex about it.
But not as much as Ed from FMA.
Not quite as much as... Ed's thing is his height.
Yeah.
Lena's thing is her bust size.
Breasts.
Yep.
Boobs.
Yeah.
Jiggo ditties.
Yeah. She's a little sensitive about those. Because, you know, she has normal human breasts instead of anime character breasts.
Naga breasts. But that's another Slayers franchise.
Yes. Yes. Naga is Lena's old sidekick from the OVAs, which are set before the series.
The Seirun Bounce.
Yes. Yes. Naga is, yeah, the medieval version of the Gainax Bounce.
Wow.
Not to mention, she has the most obnoxious version of the noblewoman laugh in human history. In fact, I suggest avoiding the OAVs just because her laugh is so unbelievably painful.
The legend I hear is that someone turned it up and broke their sound system.
And my own sister, we watched the episode that has multiple Naga clones in it laughing at once.
That's the part.
And a clear fluid began dripping from my sister's ear. I kid you not. Fluid came out of her ear.
That's really effed up, dude.
Yes.
But yeah. Let's see. Okay, in comparison to the novels, because you read the novel, the basically all the Slayer's novels that came out in English.
Right.
Because I think Tokyo Pop stopped.
Yeah, they stopped with Volume 8, which is the end of the first arc of the novels.
Yeah.
They originally stopped at number 6, but fan outcry resulted them in publishing the last two. Because apparently they have a policy of licensing three things in multiples of three. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
All right. In comparison to the novels, well, the first thing about the novels is the characters are all a little different. They're more exaggerated in the TV series. Like, Lena in the novels is less violent, a little more mature, and a lot snarkier. Gowrie is not quite as dumb. Amelia is actually pretty much the same. The descriptions of Silphiel in the novel make her out to be, like, some sort of unbelievably gorgeous girl, whereas in the anime, that doesn't really come across.
She looks like a plain Jane.
Yeah.
No sex appeal.
Yeah. But the main... That's the main difference between the novels. Now, as far as storylines are concerned, if you've read the first novel, then you know everything that happens in the first 10 episodes of the first season. After that, they started mixing it up. Like, if I remember correct, I mean, like, the second volume of the novel is rough. I mean, the second novel is roughly equivalent to episodes about 4, 5, and 6 or so of season 2.
Ah.
They really start mixing things around and jumping around. They introduce Amelia earlier. They introduce Silphiel later, I think. No, they introduce Silphiel at the same time. But there's some major differences between the novels and the anime in terms of the order things happen in. Honestly, they're both good. They're both good. The novels are mostly good for how well he captures Lena's voice. Lena comes across as a very strong and very fun character in the novels.
Well, she portrays that in the anime.
Oh, she definitely portrays that in the anime, but the novels are all done from Lena's point of view. I mean, it's first person, Lena telling the story. And you get... And it's just fun. And he does it very well. The anime is just fun.
Yeah, and the anime actually... They take some of the characteristics of the characters from the novels and turn it up by either 10... Or 1.
Yeah.
Or and down for yeah. Silphiel.
And the other thing is, the anime manages to be a bit more epic than the novels.
Well, that's because you're seeing it.
It's not just that. It's also in the novels, they're very... I mean, other than the first volume and the 8th volume, they're really pretty much not dealing with world-caliber kinds of threats. In the anime, they are dealing with them more often. Also, in the novels, anytime Amazaku shows up, it's a major, major battle. In the anime, there is such a thing as Mook Amazaku. Mm. And that manages to create more of an epic feel. Also, in the novels, Lena tries to avoid harming innocent bystanders, while in the anime, she just blows stuff up.
Yeah.
And the innocent bystanders, you know, apparently her spells can tell the difference between bad guys and innocent bystanders because the innocent bystanders only take comedic damage.
Comedic damage.
And so, I mean, the anime, I think, is a little bit more epic. Also, the novels can get a little weird sometimes. There's some kind of gross chimeras in the novels. There's just some weird stuff going on in the novels that they dropped in the anime to be a little bit more... There's even a slight horror element in the novels that doesn't sit that well, and they got rid of it in the anime, and I think it's a good choice because comedy fantasy works better than comedy fantasy horror, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's a bit too much.
Yeah.
Comedy fantasy action, maybe with a bit of shonen.
Yeah.
With girl character.
Yeah, but you throw horror into that mix, and it's just getting to be a little much. You might as well have a pirate ninja monkey robot.
pirate, ninja, monkey, robot, Jesus.
Yeah. For the record, Jesus was a pirate, ninja, monkey, robot. I have that on good. I know a guy.
Don't know a guy.
I totally know a guy.
You never know a guy.
I do know a guy. He's a action accountant.
All right. What do you think about the soundtrack to this? Mr. Oh, I know to action.
Slayers?
Yes. Mr. I know an action accountant.
The first season soundtrack is okay. The opening song is pretty good. It's, you know, a good, it's Megumi singing it. It's a good kind of, you know, early 90s pop kind of a thing. J-pop kind of a thing, but it's fun. It captures the series well. The ending song I don't like so much.
My heart.
It's okay. It's not that great. The incidental music is in the first season, it's just kind of there. In the second season is when it starts getting really good. I honestly think Slayers has some of the best incidental music of any anime. I would put it up there with things, I mean, in a very different way, but I would put it up there with things like Eva or even Cowboy Bebop.
In terms of epicness?
In terms of the incidental music, in terms of, you know, the music that plays during
basically the action. Background.
Yeah.
Background
yeah.
music. Yeah, I do like...
But the first season, no. The first season is just kind of there. They haven't really gotten it yet. It's late in the second season that the music starts to get really, really good.
Yeah, I love the opening. The ending, I love a little bit. I love less. But that opening, it's just... It's when you look at the opening for Slayers, when you hear it, you just get so pumped up to watch it. That's why if you ever marathon this, I say keep in the openings and endings, because just one pumps you up, one takes you down. Then one pumps you up, then one takes you down. That's how openings and endings are supposed to work. And it works great. I actually played it. I think it was one of the things I played in the 90s music episode. And of course, I'm going to play it at the end of this whole conversation. But yes, all in all, Slayers, who you think should watch this? Fantasy fans?
Okay, you should watch Slayers if you have a sense of humor.
Yep.
If you're not a jerk.
If you're not a jerk, what?
Well, basically, if you don't watch Slayers, that means you're a bad person, is what I'm trying to say.
That doesn't make you a bad person. What if they just don't like fantasy?
If you don't like Slayers, you are a bad person.
Well, maybe not a bad person. Maybe a...
Bad anime fan.
Maybe just a douche, but not a bad person.
Okay, in seriousness, you should watch Slayers. If you like fantasy, but aren't, you know, a dick about it.
Not,
you know,
Lodos about it.
You could even, it's possible to like both Slayers and Lodos, but if the only thing you like in fantasy is like dark kind of stuff, don't bother with Slayers. The Slayers world is not dark.
Yes, it's pretty like, everything's colorful. Let's go to Saber to get ice cream.
And then something shows up that's going to destroy the world.
Oh no! But... Oh no, Rezo!
I mean, the Slayer's world has dark elements in it, but overall, it is not, you know, it's not berserk.
Lord of the Nightmares.
I mean, yeah. Also, you know, basically anybody that likes comedic anime of any kind. I mean, if you like anime, you know, if you like comedy action, Slayer's is it.
Yeah, I think it mixes comedy, action, and fantasy very well.
Also, I would say Slayers is one of the best things to show somebody who, like, wants to know what this anime stuff is about.
I don't know.
You know, it's a great first anime.
I think it would be, depending on the person's taste, because...
Well, yeah.
If, like, it depends on what the person likes in other hobbies or other television... That determines whether they would love Slayers or not. Because there's fans who seem like they would love Slayers and then they end up not.
Okay, fair.
But it was a gateway anime.
If you want to get somebody in your D&D group into anime, Slayers.
Slayers. It was a gateway in the
90s. It was the gateway anime in the 90s. I mean,
I don't know. Sailor Moon and DBZ, really.
Sailor Moon and DBZ, yeah, but...
Shoujo and Shonen, but yeah, for fantasy, it was Slayers.
Absolutely. Anybody who has any interest in fantasy, Slayers is their gateway to anime.
Megumi fanboys, Slayers.
Oh, if you're a Megumi fanboy, you've already seen Slayers.
You already have the soundtrack.
And you've seen it, and you own it. You know, this is one of Megumi's, you know, defining series. This is one of the series that's like, you say Megumi.
Slayers.
Lena.
Lena. You know,
it's one of her most famous roles.
It's either Lena or Rey.
And there's a reason, because honestly, it's good.
Yeah.
That's all there is to say about it.
It was released by CPM first.
Mm-hmm.
Back in, I think, 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually prefer their
subs. It first came out in 94.
I don't know, 94?
93, 94,
I'm thinking. No, it has to be at least 95 when it came out in America.
I'm not sure. I'm trying to think.
It just seems like, I think it did. But
it might have been as late as 95.
But I have to admit, the subs on that, on their discs, the DVDs I'm talking, not the original, not the tapes, were kind of better than the Funimation release, because Funimation released this in box sets just last year, like 2007 or 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Funimation used the subs that are all white and with black small. Around it and kind of smaller, while CPM just uses bigger yellow ones.
Which are actually the subs from the tapes as well.
And I actually prefer the yellow subs, because it's easier to look at. It's easier to see.
On the other hand, the CPM subs had a lot of, like, typos in them. And Funimation tried to make the spelling more Japanese names and stuff more consistent. Yeah. Whereas CPM kind of fiddled around with it a little.
Also,
they tried to make it more consistent with, like, the movies and the OAVs, whereas back in the day, when ADV owned the movies and OAVs and CPM owned the anime, like, spell names were completely different between the two.
Yeah, I think Funimation has all of it now.
Yeah. And the other thing is the Funimation version
remastered
way better picture and sound quality.
We compared.
Yeah.
We compared. And it was we were impressed.
Because I have the second season in both versions. And we compared, and yeah, big, big difference.
Yeah, so I really suggest getting the Funimation one, but extras on the Funimation discs, pretty much non-existent. Except for second season, the Funimation disc has that one music video. That was probably from the Laserdisc.
That one completely hilarious music video?
Yes, from the Laserdisc, most likely.
Which we'll discuss when we get into second season.
Oh man, that episode was hilarious. That's based off that music. Well, the music video is based off. But, yeah, Slayers in a nutshell, get it. Get it, get it, get it, get it, get it. I say get it.
if you haven't seen it, watch it.
Yes.
If you have seen it, why not watch it again? It's fun.
Yeah, it's really good to marathon, too. Like, we marathon it in just blocks.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember at one point, and when it reached a certain point in the first season, I was like, okay, we got to watch the rest of this now. And we did. And it was like that with the second season at a certain time. Like, okay, we watched the rest of it. But the rest of it's 10 episodes. Well, you better order a pizza.
Yeah, because one thing Slayers does is, like, the first few episodes, it'll get you into it slowly. There'll be a lot of comedy, a lot of stuff that looks like it's standalone. And then slowly the plot starts to build and it starts to get momentum. And late in any given season, it's going to be, like, hitting you with, you know, twists and battles and cool stuff happening and, you know, threats to the world kind of stuff and more nonsense. I mean, they always manage to find some way in the middle bit of, you know, the horrible Battle of Doom to bring in some total nonsense.
But they don't do it badly. Or
no.
That bad.
No, they don't
bad
do it
as you could
as
make
they
it.
Don't do it badly. They just manage to, you know, do it. Like, you know, in the final fight of the first season, there's this bit where, according to legend, there's a particular way to fight this villain. And so they attack him according to the legend, and it doesn't work. And Emilia's like, oh, stupid legends! Why do they never work? You know, that kind of, you know. And very, very, very rarely they'll break the fourth wall, only when it's completely hilarious, which isn't something most anime do.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Very.
You see that more in American stuff.
And what's interesting is it's usually Zelgadis who does it, and he's the straight man.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he's also insanely cool. So, you know, it balances out.
Well, he tries to be insanely cool.
That's the thing, is Elgadus tries to be, like, this cool, brooding hero type in a universe that's built for comedy. And that in itself produces a great deal of comedy.
If you ever want to see the comparison, watch any scene when they go out to eat.
Yes. Because that's one mark of Slayers, is that most of... At first, Lena and Gowrie, and Amelia slowly picks it up from them over the course of three seasons, they eat huge amounts of food insanely quickly.
Yes.
And Zelgadis, in those scenes, will be there quietly sipping a cup of tea, or, you know, a glass of wine or something. Trying to pretend he doesn't know them.
Or have some decorum, unlike them, who are just like, that's my turkey, Gowrie! No way, this is mine! Share!
I mean, the first time they go out together, Gowrie is like, I'll have, you know, opens up the menu. And that's one thing is, you know, even though it's like a medieval fantasy world, they have like restaurants and...
Well, they had restaurants in medieval times.
Not really, no.
Very rarely.
They had, like, the occasional tavern, but this is, like, restaurants and hotels and resorts.
It's RPG fantasy.
It's RPG fantasy, and sometimes it even breaks that. I mean, sunglasses show up in pretty much every season somewhere.
Sunglasses, Colonel Sanders, ice cream.
Ice cream. There's a running gag about Saeroon's ice cream.
Which I would like to taste. In fact, I think I should get some ice cream today.
And then... But what I was starting to say is, like, the first time they go out to eat together, Lena's like, or Gowrie's like, I'll have this, 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 and this on the menu. And the waiter's like, what? And then Lena's like, and I'll have everything from here to here, and, like, top of the page to the bottom. Triple portions, please. And, you know, they bring it out, and the entire table is stacked with plates, and then they just consume it all like wolves, you know? They fight over it,
Fortitude.
Yes.
Fortitude.
And that's another thing we might have to talk about in a later episode is Slayer's D20 game.
Yeah. That's like a whole episode by itself, but I never played it, though. I would have to at least play it once if we ever do an episode of Slayer's D20.
Yeah, we should do that sometime.
Hell, how about just anime, like, anime roleplays?
Yeah.
Role-playing games. BESM, Slayer's D20.
What did you say?
Yes, I said BESM.
Okay, have to BESM. Okay, just making sure.
What? You thought I said BDSM?
There's a reason we usually say BESM.
Yes. Roll the D20.
That's one kind of role-playing, I'll admit. That's one kind of fantasy role-playing.
Hell, you got the Tenchi D20 in there.
Yes, I've never actually played it, but I have it.
Yeah, I think I'm scared. To even open it up. Anyway, I think...
No, wait, no, that's not Tenchi D20, that's Tenchi Besom.
Tenchi Besom. I'm still scared. But anyway, I think we reached the wall of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Slayers is awesome.
Slayers is awesome. We'll be back to talk about it more in a later day, because we still got...
2, 3, D20, 4, if we ever finish it. Sigh. Let's click the stop.
Yeah.
Time to play the Slayers theme.
Woo!
Woo!
Okay, now here's, you know, Megumi, who actually can sing.
ひとつも捉えたなら私のペース